talking about issues that matter to you. Auburn Opelika This Morning with Ben Taylor.
One of the voices of Turning Point, who is a local celebrity and probably a national celebrity, he joins me on the WNI hotline, and he wouldn't call himself that, but I will, especially now that he's got a book coming out, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But Ryland Hollihan joins me as good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Good morning to you. Happy Monday. I definitely wouldn't put myself in the celebrity category. I'm just another college freshman here at the incredible Auburn University that gets to start my morning on your awesome radio show, so I kept myself lucky.
That is very well said. I'm going to put that on our highlight reel so that way I can share it with my buddies that say that. Ryland, I'm going to go ahead and get into it because you and I were talking beforehand some of the things we wanted to cover, and you've been busy, and one reason being is what are some of the things that you're running into on the road? Because you said I've been keeping the airlines busy and going to different campuses, but some of the questions that you're receiving, as well as some of the concerns that some of our youth have today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be honest. When I moved to Auburn to start college last semester, I planned on taking a step back from politics. I thought that I was just going to talk on a podcast, maybe do the occasional TV hit, but not be out on the road because we just finished the presidential campaign. I thought I'd take 4 years off, and then the assassination happened. Mm. And last time you and I spoke on this show was when I announced that I was going to go to 10 campuses to finish Charlie's tour, to speak to the next generation, to do debates, to do Q&As. And one of those was right here on Auburn's campus. I went to 10 last semester, and then what I heard time and time again were students that would come up after a debate and whisper in my ear, because they were so terrified of how they could get caught or canceled or blacklisted, that they write two versions of every paper. These are students that write one essay that they believe in, and then a second essay that they tuck their tail and hide their beliefs just to get a good grade from their professor. Hmm. I kept hearing from students that say that they would wear a hat or sit in the back of my debate because they didn't want to be blacklisted from their fraternity or sorority or SGA or club on campus. They thought they might not get a job one day if they were seen at a Turning Point event on campus. And that kind of frustrated me because, like, what's this whole idea of higher education, free expression of ideas, if you can't actually have that free expression? So I sat down and I wrote a book about it. It's called Make America Talk Again, How to Save a Screaming Culture. And it's trying to kind of get this generation awake, trying to show us, hey, you don't have to hide your beliefs anymore. You don't have to tuck your tail. Our country survived 250 years because people boldly and courageously spoke the truth. And I will be the first person to say that I know this is hard. I see the death threats that I get daily, but this book is a simple how-to guide. My first book, when I wrote in high school, it hit number 2 on the Amazon bestsellers list, and we're expecting a lot of good reception from this one as well, because we want Gen Z to hear that there is hope, that this isn't a doom and gloom culture like the media paints it, and you can get your signed copy right now at brylandbook.com.
I will say that, and by the way, I highly suggest you guys go there. We'll put that link on the website as well. So those of you that go back and listen to this a little bit later on will be able to grab it and go ahead and pre-order that copy right now. I've got 2 daughters. I make them a part of the show as much as possible, so I can share my experiences with trying to raise two girls, and one is 18, the other is 16, and it's honestly, it's not just what you're witnessing on college campuses, is even at some of the high school level and some of the friends that they're with, sometimes they're afraid to maybe voice their opinion. And that seems to be a problem because I've said before, the tolerant that say, hey, we should have discourse, and then when you have discourse with them, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, but you can't think like that, and then they tell you to shut up. So it's kind of odd that they request you be open-minded, but they don't follow up with it on their end.
Yeah, they're the most accepting people until it comes to accepting Christianity or conservative values, and then they're pretty dang not accepting. I just came from New York, and obviously it's the communist capital of the world right now, but I went in kind of being like, okay, Mondani's been there for about a month or two. I can't go too hard on him and exaggerate things because there's not that much change, right? Like, not that much could have possibly happened. And then a high school student actually came to one of my events the other day, and he was like, hey, I'm terrified. Mm. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you live in this great city and all this opportunity and et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, no, like, we keep having walkouts in my classes about once a week, these No Kings, anti-Trump walkouts. And he's like, I'm the only kid every time that sits in my class and continues on with the lecture. and my professors are getting mad at me that I'm not walking out, and my classmates are not sitting with me at lunch because I'm not walking out. And you're right, there's this intimidation, even in high school, that this kid's choosing to do what he's there to do, study, as opposed to go walk out and hold a sign that some organization printed out for him. So there are other people out there. You're not alone. And then we want to write this how-to guide to help them. I can go debate on these campuses. I love it. I enjoy it. It's risky, but we're getting good progress and success out of it. I don't want to be the only one out there. I wrote this book so that your kids and my classmates can know how to debate within their classes and at the dining hall and in their neighborhoods. This conversation shouldn't just be happening at Brown with Hollihan events across the country. It should be happening in your living room. And that's why I wrote this book.
Brian Hollihan with me is on the WAN hotline discussing both his book as well as some of his experiences. It's funny that you mentioned in that last little portion of the No Kings protest is there was one in Auburn on Saturday.
I heard. I missed it.
I don't know that
they
you're necessarily. I don't know that you're necessarily the demographic that probably would have been there. But it also taken place in major cities around the country. Somebody asked me, they said, what were you doing? I said, the Elite Eight was Saturday. I had to watch basketball. There were some more important things on. But I do. We had this conversation, Riley and I, just this past hour. He joins me during the 6 o'clock hour every day. And what's the end game of something like that? When they say no king, because last I checked in 1776, we got rid of the king thing. So I'm not real sure what the end game is in this portion of the protest that they're doing.
So when I was in New York, I caught off with a buddy of mine who is kind of like my arch nemesis as the media paints this thing, Terry Sisson. He's a DNC influencer. And we're not like hanging out friends, but we know each other just because there's not that many young people in political rooms. Mm-hmm. And so we obviously don't agree on a single issue over the sun. And we debate constantly. And this happened to be a TV debate this week in New York. And we were talking in the green room beforehand. I was like, hey, what you got going on this weekend? What are you going to be up to? And he was like, oh, I'm going to the No Kings protest. He was all excited. And I was like, you're going to be the youngest person there because everybody else they pick up from the nursing homes and assigned to, and the geriatric patients are out there being paid to hold this, Soros-funded sign. And he was like, well, that's a little insensitive. And I was like, well, it seems like you've slept through history class. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you can recite all 38 gender pronouns, but you forgot that when we dumped the tea in the Boston Harbor, we actually got rid of kings in this country, and they certainly haven't come back. If we want to talk about a coronation, we can talk about Kamala Harris, who skipped the primary process, put the crown on herself, and she thought she was the queen of America until we popped her bubble. Donald Trump certainly isn't a king, and he just kind of got real quiet. And I think that's the response to these people out here. Listen, I love Auburn. Like with my whole heart, I've really enjoyed my past 2 months here. I plan to stay here for the foreseeable future, maybe even plant roots here. But there definitely is a group of people that are frustrated with what's going on in this country. And instead of maybe wanting to run for office or promote legislation or go to the ballot box, they think that dyeing their hair blue, getting a nose ring, holding up a sign at Toomer's Corner and screaming no kings is going to be the solution. And then I don't know if this is a shock to you, but it's actually not the solution. It's not how you fix things in this country. What they're trying to do, though, is create chaos. They tried to do it in Minneapolis. They're now trying to do it at the airport. And then they're going to do it on your streets at every corner and say, oh, look, when the midterms come, Donald Trump's called chaos in this country. There's a protest every other day. No, no, no. The entire thing is manufactured. The Democrat Party doesn't have good candidates then. They don't have good policies. They have to get outrage and fear-mongering to get votes in November, and it's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's the whole screaming thing and all that. It's like the louder the better in some instances. So speaking of a conservative and somebody that's going to be, and I'm sure she will be at Augusta National pretty soon because she's very present there as well. But a little bit later on this evening is Condoleezza Rice going to head this way. Now, this is foreign territory for her over at Auburn University. She's got a little crimson in her blood, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're right. She actually is coming tonight to speak on campus for an America 250 event. Auburn's been so lucky to get so many cool opportunities from the 250th anniversary. Because we're the best school in the state, if anybody's not aware. And so when these politicians want to come talking out in the state of Alabama, where do they go? Not that school up north. They come to the wonderful place down south. And we're excited to have her. I know the place at GPAC is going to be packed with students. They're super excited to get to hear from her. And what I'm interested to hear is her advice to the next generation. Listen, she's seen it all from being Secretary of State, working in multiple White Houses. And she has some feedback, some advice. And specifically what I'm looking for when I go speak on campuses, we've got the young male votes in the GOP. We've done really well in the past few years to make sure that young men that were told, your masculinity is toxic, sit down, shut up, you don't understand what's going on by the left, we got their vote last November. What we don't have is the young conservatives votes, the young female votes. And Condi Rice has done such a good job over the past few years of helping get that at some of her, you know, incredible classes because she still lectures. So I'm hoping that maybe that's some advice that we'll hear from her tonight. Mm. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's pretty cool that Auburn's so lucky to have that opportunity.
Yeah, I've seen some of your, of course, I follow you on social media and interact and share and that kind of stuff. And you talk about the young female vote. Well, they're being told right now that they can't get married and they can't have children or else they can't vote because it's too hard to change their ID. It's too hard to, apparently there's also a thing out there that says you have to have a passport in order to vote. And it's really confusing a lot of people. And the reason being is because I've told you, I've got the young female in my house, the 18, the 16-year-old, that they hear these things and they come and ask these questions. Some of your response, your response to what you tell people when you're out and you're touring, because I'm sure that gets brought up and it's kind of odd. My wife has gotten married. She's had children and she still votes. So I'm not real sure what the problem is.
Yeah, you know, she's supposed to be oppressed. You're supposed to be outraged that her right to vote was taken away because we're simply asking for a form of ID. Let me just give you a walkthrough of the past few hours of my morning so far. I hopped on a plane, had to show my ID to get on said plane. I got to Auburn, went to the local CVS to pick up my medicine, had to show an ID to pick up my medicine, and I just went on campus and had to show my ID to get into a building on campus. I should be protesting, right? Like, I should be screaming and crying and dyeing my hair blue because I'm so oppressed, right? Like, my right to vote is just so infringed because I had to show this ID. What I think is insane is that debate that I talked about with my friend Harry Sisson, we went at each other pretty hard because he was pretty upset of how evil the Republicans are for taking away his female friend's right to vote. And I looked at him on live TV and said, Harry, both of us had to show ID to get into the studio tonight. They checked our ID at the front door. Do you feel oppressed? Because you willingly handed it over because it was in your wallet, super easy because you walk around with it every day in life. But for some reason, this TV studio we're debating in is supposed to be safer than our ballot boxes. And he had no response because there is no response. Because all they want to do is cause fake outrage. If it wasn't IDs, it would be something else. They want to scream and cry about something because the Democrats can't build. They can only tear down. And they're pretty good at tearing down, as we see. That's all they can do.
What is his response? And I'm sure you've asked him this even, you know, off of the stage and when you guys have been visiting with one another. Literally every poll that's come out, the lowest percentage has been about 72% of approval for ID. The highest has been around 90%. So even if they're off, you know, they always say that the factor of messing up the poll is no more than about 5%. So even if it's wrong at 80%, which is the average, and they say, yeah, but it's not that high. Okay, 75% of people still say, Democrats included, by the way, Brylan, say that they want to see ID at the poll. What are your cohorts on the other side of the aisle? What do they say about that kind of thing?
Then I wouldn't say this to most people, but I'm going to give you a little inside baseball just because I love Auburn so much and this is a cool opportunity. So what I think is going to happen in 2028 is the Kamala will run. We'll have some crazy people on the left. What their nominee is going to be is a little bit more moderate centrist person because they realize they were in too far off a cliff. What you're talking about with the majority of Americans, overwhelming majority of Americans, just having some common sense left and saying voter ID is good is the same thing for an example of men and women's sports or men and women's bathrooms. If you've watched in the past few months, people like Gavin Newsom, who are so giddy to run in 2028, have walked away from that. Oh, no, I don't think we should trans our kids anymore. And oh, no, I think we should keep men out of women's sports. When a few months ago they were leading the charge for the opposite, they're looking at those poll numbers that say 70 or 80% of Americans can unite still on some pretty common sense issues. I think voter ID is going to be one of those. Right now, they're banging the drums. They're getting good donor, you know, support over an issue like this by saying Republicans are racist. At the end of the day, Americans are tired of hearing that Republicans are racist. They've shown no proof that Republicans are racist. They make fake outrage every, you know, election cycle that we're racist. And I think at some point, I don't know if it'll be Gavin, but you'll see somebody that's so excited to run for president, maybe a Josh Shapiro, Andy Beshear, Wes Moore, somebody like that, that can come from a more centrist state and say, hey, actually, I'm going to run on the platform of voter ID. And those 70% of Americans that support it, they'll get some of that vote. I think that's what's going to happen. Not right now. They got to win the midterms first in their mindset before they can turn code and switch. But if we know anything about our friends, the Democrats, they are the most flip-flopping people in the entire world. So I'll take that to the bank, and I can come back on in 2028 and see if my prediction's correct.
Very well said. Well, before I let you get out of here, and before I know you're busy, and I greatly appreciate your time. Again, Brylan Hollihan with me as we're talking conservatism as well as his tour. But you got a book coming out. We talked about it at the beginning, but just recap where people can find that and how they can get involved. Go ahead and pre-order that thing.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me. I'd talk all day if I didn't have class, but it's called Make America Talk Again. It's a how-to guide to debate the left and get involved on college campuses. You can get a signed copy right now at BrylanBook.com. It's BrylanBook.com. And hopefully we'll be able to do some kind of book signing in Auburn when it comes out. I want to talk to you all again.
That'd be fantastic, man. I told you, I'm looking forward to my copy. And I told him on text yesterday, I said, no gifts. I said, I want to buy it. You're doing this for a reason. And I want to make sure that you can afford to wait in that Delta line a little bit, maybe not quite as long. And so that way you can make your next trip and hopefully educate some people. Is this going to be a good book that I can send to some of my leftist buddies? Are they going to be upset with me if I send it?
Absolutely. I hope they cry some tears over this one. It'll be good.
They would. That would really upset if I send them a how we can sit down and visit one another about these certain things. So, Brylan, as always, I greatly appreciate your time. Best of luck with everything. I know we're going to talk soon. I look forward to the book signing here locally. Have fun with Condoleezza this evening. I will say, even though my sister up in Boston is she leans left, but Condi's one of her favorite people, so she is changing some lives. We'll see if it continues a little bit later on. But as always, I appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, man. War Eagle, I appreciate you.
War Eagle. Brylan Hollihan with me. Auburn Opelika this morning, your news, talk, and information station. We got more in a moment.
We're streaming online at newstalkwani.com and the Radio Alabama app. WANI.